many, many episodes later, we're finally doing it. It's Red Leaf RetroCast. My pick today, I'm JD. Tori, Hickey, glad for you, both of you guys, to be here for episode 161. We're doing Monster! Yeah!
Monster!
Monster, finally. Something
not
that JD
the energy
can...
drink.
JD can get the names right.
Yeah! I got the cities, the names!
We are today reviewing Monstertier? Something like that, yeah?
Monstier.
Monstier.
I'm super excited. This is one of my favorite anime of all time. It's Germany. It's serial killers.
It's very German.
Post-apocalyptic. Post-Berlin Wall. Episodes 1 through 25. This is, my God, I pretty much binged all 25 episodes in, it was close to a single sitting, I'll put it that way. I still love this.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's, I can't put it down. It's, put it down like it's a book. I can't stop watching. it's like I got my fireplace going, I got the logs burning by the fire, I'm sitting close to it. And just drinking like scotch and watching Monster, and Johan is totally real. I don't care what that crack detective says. He is a real boy.
He is a real boy. No, he's not. He's not even real. How could anyone like him exist? He's just a child. He was just a child, JD. I can't be real.
A child that likes to poison people with delicious candy.
Nah, that didn't happen.
I don't know. It's all in my head. It's all in the head of a nice Japanese man who can perform any brain surgery imaginable.
Any surgery imaginable.
Any of them.
Any surgery imaginable. He's just not very good at it, except he's the best at it.
He's very humble. Sometimes.
He's just the best part is, like, technically, he's just a scientist. He went to German to study. He shouldn't be a fucking surgeon.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but you know, when you go to study, and then they're just to come back and they're like, hey, you're the best.
Is it the beginning of Die Hard? Because the guy's like an analyst. He's not even like an agent. They're just like, I don't go to the field. You know, I need to tap on an Excel sheet the whole day. It's not much. And then my man is just the Terminator.
You lost me.
Isn't it Die Hard?
I don't fucking remember.
No, Die Hard was Bruce Willis.
Yeah, but he's not an agent. He's like an analyst, right?
No, he's a police officer.
I don't fucking remember.
Oh, who's the one with the analyst? Tom Clancy movie, maybe? Ah, shit. I won't remember it all. Oh, whatever.
Irrelevant. Monster.
Monster. Monster. Monster. Johan. Lunga. Okay. So what's everyone been watching? Because I got some more fall anime. I've been watching so much anime, guys, for this anime podcast that we do talk about anime and not football and other things.
That's crazy, dude. I don't have time to watch anime, man. I'm so busy. All the time.
All the time.
But yeah, no. I finished Pluto, though. That's about it.
Hell yeah. Tell me. Tell me about it.
I also basically just Pluto. Keeping on from... Yeah, just keeping on from last time. It's a very interesting sort of different take by Naoki Urasawa, coincidentally, on Astro Boy. A specific part of Astro Boy, that is. And yeah, sort of a sort of darker version of that, where we see like a bunch of the... most advanced robots in the world get killed and sort of trying to figure out what the fuck is happening and who's behind it. And it's a Netflix show. It was very interesting. I thought the ending was a little... I don't think the ending stuck as well as I would have liked.
The manga was kind of the same way, though.
No, I know. That's why I'll give it. But like, I feel like that's where it's sort of like the style clash becomes very obvious, right? Because like, Pluto's supposed to be darker than the original manga.
Yes.
So when it sort of comes and has to try to like go back into the original manga story, right? Then it's like, wow, this is a fucking like tonal whiplash and a half.
Wait, are you telling me 1960s designs?
Suddenly everything is fucking sunshine and rainbows and everybody are the best of friends. God damn.
You know what Pluto was missing? A Johan.
True.
Although we did see some blonde Germans in that show, too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, technically kind of, not exactly like Johan, you know, not somebody just goes out and be like, wow, you are amazing at what you are an amazing person. It's like, this guy's amazing. Holy fuck. I need to kill myself. I need to kill myself in his presence.
That is a real line. I admire you. I love everything you do. You're the perfect human and representation. Please kill me.
I need to die.
I need you specifically to kill me. I need to break your imperfection. Oh,
but yeah, it's a Pluto. It's a good show. It's definitely an enjoyable one. Little disappointed by the ending, but it's fine.
Is it your anime of the year, going back to the last episode?
Of course it is. It's
hell yeah.
One of few anime from this year I've completed. It's an anime of the year, and it wins on walkover.
it just walks off. It's easy. Okay. I, Hickey, you might be interested in this, watched Frieren.
Frieren.
There we go. Got it. Yeah, lots of German names in that one, too.
Yeah.
But it's more like just singularities. Oh, how you doing, Stark? Like, okay, he's strong, and his character's strong. Got it. Yeah.
Cool dude.
Yeah, it's got a good sense of comedy in the show. I do enjoy it quite a lot. The objective of...
finding heaven,
yeah,
talking to the dead,
yeah, just eventually
developing weapons of mass destruction.
Well, not quite there yet, but yes. the journey in gathering up, essentially Frieren becomes kind of it's like retracing her own steps to find her, I guess, self in a lot of ways, and then the people that she gathers around her kind of represents repeating that 10-year journey with similar people and their connections to others. I like that part. Good sense of comedy, like I said. The two episodes involving the our first major encounter with demons was very cool, very well written, where it goes, like, it has one of my favorite lines of the year with where she tells the demon to just kill herself due to events that occur in the fight. I just went, fuck yeah! That was sick!
Yeah. Oh yeah, that is true. Talking about genocide. No, talking about racism, genocide. Yeah, I know. the low tier god edits of that scene.
So good.
Really enjoy it. She doesn't need to make an effort, but she does, which is good. She's like super overpowered, but she doesn't rely on it that much.
Right, good teachings.
It's not a point.
She sticks to her hobbies.
She's highly eccentric. She goes around buying magic items that are completely useless.
I mean,
not even the books.
When it's Stark's birthday, they make a deal of birthdays quite a few times in the show. And it's like important life events of the time. But I fucking howled when Fern goes, oh, what'd you get him for his birthday? And she smirks and goes to her case, throws a million things out of it. And she pulls out the bottle. It's like, it is a potion that can melt clothing. I hear men would really love this. And she's so proud of herself. And Fern just gives her the death stare. And then pours it on her. It's like, I'm disgusted with you. Like, okay, yeah. That's good. That was good comedy. I like that. Good stuff. And that's one of the more raunchier
really
things in the entire show. Because mostly it's just someone said something and then they just look at you in disgust. It's like, oh, what'd I do? What'd I say? It's like, I've been there, bro. I've been there.
Yeah. Then you have a flashback of, oh, yeah, that one time I wasn't paying attention to what my my friends were talking to me. It's like, oh, that's what they were trying to say.
Yeah.
And you go around. It's really good. It's a really good show.
The passage of time is very important because every episode starts off with telling you like when it is and gives you an idea.
How many years since the hero died?
Well, it starts off with like this is the end of the journey, and then Frieren says like, I'll be back in like 50 years or whatever, and then she comes back, everyone's old, and then it really sets up her going back on her own journey, and then it establishes the new like frame of time that probably she establishes time with, and it's the death of Himmel, her hero companion that she traveled with for the 10 years. And every episode now begins with how many years after his death. So I like that. It's one of the better anime that I've seen this year for sure. Is it a 9.13 on my anime list? I don't know if I go that high, but people are really loving it, and I totally understand why. Madhouse is back. That's what I say.
No. Let's just wait a little bit. Yeah, on the Madhouse thing.
Uh-oh. Okay. All right. Madhouse not back, but
what do you mean,
maybe.
Madhouse? What do you mean Madhouse is back? They never left.
Okay. Let's just see if they have any planned anime to release in the future.
Sure. And then I watched a bunch of Apothecary Diaries. And on the surface, it seems like the summary isn't all that good. But holy hell, as soon as I started watching it, it's the main character is phenomenal. She's a very smart, well-spoken, educated person that knows her status and surroundings of the era. And it pretty much establishes that. And there's multiple instances where that comes into play. And it has become essentially like a detective show, with her being essentially a doctor of the era, which is pretty cool. Art's good, animation's good for what it needs to be. Main characters are very like it's really all the dialogue is built off her and her interactions, and it's very well done. That is quickly starting to become my anime of the year if it finishes strong.
Hmm.
Yeah,
but is she as good a doctor as a certain Kenzo Tenma?
Well, let's not be crazy. Tenma has like modern technology, like needles and spoons. She doesn't have things like that. That's crazy.
What's a butt? Come on, he could probably just stab his fucking fingers in there and be like, "Mm-hmm, yep, yep, connect that one." Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
Are you, right, Tori? Are you saying Tenma has magic fingers?
Can that thing?
Hokuto no Ken. Like, do I need some? Do you need to like put me under or something? Nah, we're good. We're just gonna what out, what out, what out. There you go.
You're cured. You're gonna be cured in 10 seconds.
Love it.
You're gonna be cured in 10 seconds. Blood splurts everywhere. Oh, wait. Oh, no. Shit. Hold on. Let's reverse that. I used the wrong technique.
I can fix that.
I used the wrong technique. Ah, shit. I used 7 stars instead of 8.
I miscounted. Shit.
Oops. But yeah, Apothecary Diaries.
The worst thing you fucking neurosurgeon can say to you, ah, oh, fuck, I miscounted. Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Most, they're such a heavy and serious anime. Here we are just goofing with it. Oh, my God.
That's the way it should be.
The way it should be.
Yeah, no, well, I'd say that watching just MF Ghost.
Okay, MF so Ghost? A lot of people fun. In the chat is watching MF Ghost. Tell me about it. Try to convince me, Hickey. What is your case for MF Ghost?
I have no case. I like cars. I like when cars go vroom vroom, and wow. I just realized that my audio is not being recorded for some reason.
That's okay. I got you. Well. I got you, bro. That's why we have backups.
Hold on a second.
Tori, we have learned Hickey is a very simple man on this day. The lawyer likes things that go vroom vroom.
Yeah. What's and the case? No, so initial D.
Yeah, it's initial D at the end of the day as well. So that's why, yeah, it's basically that. Initial D. If you like initial D, if you enjoy the initial D things.
So what you're saying is Tori would absolutely hate it.
He would absolutely hate it.
Of course I would. That's why I didn't even bother. I looked at it once and I was like, is there any Europe in it? Yeah, kind of. All right, cool. Anyways, that's the trailer done, and I'm done with this show now.
Anyways, moving on.
Yeah. But MF Ghost, if you like cars, it's like, it's a horror story. So, there's that.
That's why it's Ghost. Damn. Sheesh.
Yeah, technically, yes.
Damn, sheesh.
Because, like,
motherfucking Ghost.
Motherfucking Ghost. MF Doom. It's because in the future, the world is like, you know what? Burning fuel is not good for the environment. So we're just gonna have electric cars.
And that's crazy.
Since we're going that route, everything will be automated. So there's no need to drive anymore. And it's like, that is fucking sad. So the MFG competition is just like the last of the fuel cars competing in a type of thing. So people like make some remarks that are very sad. It's like, oh man, if we had races still, that would be a amazing Le Mans driver. It's like, oh, I know that in 10 years there's gonna be reality, and it's a fucking nightmare. But it's basically that school cars competing, and they made a way so a strong car don't have a big advantage over the other ones. So you have like a fucking GR Yaris and a bunch of four doors BMWs racing against Lamborghinis and Ferraris. It's really cool. It's really wacky. Really enjoy it. But there's nothing about it. It's just cars going vroom vroom.
Vroom vroom. Okay. So besides Frieren and Apothecary Diaries, I mentioned, and I couldn't remember the name of the show I was watching because I'm epic like that. I was watching Fairway Paladin. That was the name of the show last podcast episode. I'm fully caught up on it. I don't know why I continue to watch the show. I don't think it's like that good. It's not really all that interesting either. It's just extremely basic with, I guess, just moral values comes into play. Not a lot of conflict in the show, even though the whole show has conflict. It's very strange. I think it's because the main character is very overpowered. Like, he was just very he was educated extremely well and knows how to do everything. So there's no conflict with him other than making the right choice. And then where it's finally gotten interesting is in the second season here, that there's this dragon that's awoken, and the dragon is like a mercenary of like the evil gods, and they have to go kill it or it's just going to ravage the land. And I'm like, okay. And I finally got to the point where they reach the dragon. You've seen it for the first time. Good little build up to it all. So I think I'll finish the dragon fight. If that lasts the rest of the season, I guess I'll finish the season. But I think once this dragon fight's over, I'll drop the show. I think that will be my conclusion for this very, very 5 out of 10 type show. It's like, by definition, all of that. It's like, ugh. So I don't recommend it, but I can't say it's like this horribly written thing or anything. It's just not that interesting. And then because I've like caught up with everything I wanted to watch, I think I have dropped Dr. Stone. It's gotten way too goofy at this point. For some reason, it's just not hitting the same way it did at first. So I'm restarting.
I didn't even try.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I knew it's just Dude.
Yeah, it's and, not vibing with
there's
it
a there's a certain point they reach, and I think they reached it last season. First core of the second season, mm-hmm. the Grand Navigation arc. That is like the first stop in the Grand Navigation arcs, and they find that artifact.
Uh-huh.
Right? And it's like, oh, now we can do that. It becomes super goofy. Oh,
good. It gets worse. So, I'm taking this time now to start up the next season of Bleach in the Thousand Year Blood arc. So, watch the first couple episodes okay. there. Uryu is now gone. Oh,
it's,
kind of.
It's that part.
Yeah.
I see.
Well, I finished the first season. It was only like, what, 13 episodes or something. And now it's continuing from here.
Well, it's that one fight with that one character. The zombie making one.
Zombie making one. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And then Ancient Magus Bride. I wasn't really too into this whole school arc thing, but now with the school in shutdown mode and this new character where it's like this witch person, it's getting back into the Magus Bride that I liked, but it's not, I don't think it'll reach that same feeling and peak that Chisei's struggle in the first like OVA in the first season went through, where she's, you know, the slave and then has to get some self-confidence and all that. Tori, you know what I'm talking about. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's I don't think it's ever going to get to that point unless there's some major, major conflict that she has to go through. And it's just taking forever to get there, if that's ever going to be the case. It's just a lot about, like, learning in a school environment. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm into this. This isn't very good. it's not interesting, but at least in shutdown mode, there's now a sense of you're confined and the moving parts around it is starting to kind of come together a little bit. So I'm like, okay, now we can start moving here with something that we can like. And that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at with all my shows currently. Tori.
Yes.
What have you been up to, my man?
Spreading
the word of the podcast to all our millions of listeners in the Scandinavias.
Of course, you can tell. You can tell by the fucking Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah, stats don't lie. Denmark, Sweden,
stats don't lie.
Norway. Yep. We got them all. Those are the countries that grew the Finland. Most in 2023.
Hell yeah.
Totally not off the back of a singular episode.
Definitely not. Couldn't even imagine what that would be. But yeah, nah, I don't know. I haven't been up to too much. Done some stuff. Preparing. I mean, now obviously Christmas is nearing, so I've done a lot of like Christmas shopping, decorating, stuff like that.
Decorating, you say?
Just been decorating.
Yeah. Decorating.
Decorating. Hell yeah. So yeah,
listening to Chris, the 2024 best of Christmas songs on YouTube.
Hell yeah, dude. I've needed something when we were fucking decorating the house.
What are you doing? Are you making like wreaths and stuff?
No, like, so we were putting up the tree, we were decorating the house in general, like just a bunch of stuff that has to happen, washing, like whatever, cleaning, just to get stuff done. And it's like, we had the TV on, and I'm just there, it's like, I've said it before, but I hate TV here because, like, there's nothing but reruns of the same shit over and over and over and over and over for the millionth time. And at this point, it was like, it was the news that was on, but, like, the news is the same way. They have, like, 5 minutes of story that they send over and over and over and over for like, an entire hour. I hate it. I was like, fuck this. I need something to put me in the mood.
News is like, someone got killed.
Oh, yours
next
too?
News. Someone got killed for like an hour. It's that, like, okay, yeah, I understand a lot of people die. Can we have like the sports? And you go to the sports, it's like, Team A got in a fight with Team B. Is like, God damn it, dude.
referee died. I mean, it's the same thing here, though. It's just like whenever that shit happens, it's like, ah, that's all we're going to talk about now. Like, we'll literally sit here and we'll talk about this on rerun for fucking hours upon it. It drives me insane. Like, I don't give a shit, like, about most things, but like the fact that everything on TV is just reruns, no matter what it is, whether it's during the weekdays or weekend or whatever, like, it pisses me off so much. So like, what do I need? I need something to get me in the mood. Christmas music. Like, let's go.
Does the fact that you look outside and everything's just plain white helps to drive you crazy?
No.
With the repetition?
No. Because it isn't repetitive. It's just white. But, like, there's a lot of difference. Mountains, trees, roads, cars, buildings. Everything isn't the same. It's just that there's snow outside. You go crazy when you go to the beach? Like, what?
Yes, kind of. It's very hot.
You don't go crazy when you go to the beach. You're already crazy. That's why you're at the beach.
Damn.
Crazy and or drunk.
Damn, I just got called out just absolutely unnecessary in a fucking Christmas talk. What the fuck?
Come at me one more time, bitch.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, nah, it's mostly just been real life stuff. Had some courses and stuff like that that I took and whatnot. So yeah, been chilling.
I'm still studying. I have 1 week more. 1 week of study, 1 week of job. Than vacations.
Okay.
Yes. And then I'm just gonna spend my vacations in the hospital because I'm not feeling very well. Let's go.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, okay then. Let's get into Monster, shall we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Here we go. Wow, that was 27 minutes. How'd we do that? Okay, playing the drop.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, it's jam.
I don't know how we were able to bullshit for 27 minutes like that, just talking about random shit. How do we do it? How
it's
do
it's almost
we do
like
it, guys?
If we talk about anime, we can just go on forever, dude.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. Dr. Kenzo Tenma, an elite neurosurgeon recently engaged to his hospital director's daughter, is well on his way to ascending the hospital hierarchy. That is, until one night. A seemingly small event changes Dr. Tenma's life forever. While preparing to perform a surgery on someone, he gets a call from the hospital director telling him to switch patients and instead perform life-saving brain surgery on a famous performer. His fellow doctors, fiancé Ava, and the hospital director applaud his accomplishment, but because of the switch, a poor immigrant worker is dead, causing Dr. Tenma to have a crisis of conscience. So when a similar situation arises, Dr. Tenma stands his ground and chooses to perform surgery on a young boy named Johann Liebert instead of the town's mayor. Fortunately, this choice leads to serious ramifications for Dr. Tenma. He loses his social standing. He loses his future directorial position. Loses his wife. Wife leaves him like a hoe.
Like a hoe.
Yeah. However, with the mysterious death of the director and the two other doctors, Dr. Tenma's position is restored. And with no evidence to convict him by the inspector Lunga. Lunga? Lunga. Not Lunga. Lunga.
Lunga.
Lunga. He is released and goes to attain the position of hospital director. Good for you, Tenma. Take over for those dead guys. 9 years later, when Dr. Tenma saves the life of a criminal, his past comes back to haunt him once again. He comes face to face with the monster he operated on. That's Johan. Totally real. Real guy, swear.
Nah, I don't know. I don't know about that.
You're crazy, man.
He must now embark on a quest of pursuit to make amends of the havoc spread by the one he saved. Studio Madhouse did this.
Damn.
Let's see.
They
yeah,
did.
Right, yeah.
Wow. Madhouse used to be good.
They did some crazy
In
stuff.
In the long past.
And then it's, let's see, who directed this? There's a lot of episode directors.
Yeah,
it was.
I guess Masayuki Kojima would be kind of the main guy because he had more than one role.
Yeah.
I guess, maybe. Tomohiko Ito, just storyboard.
Listed as director.
Mention to Maruyama Masao, the producer, because that dude just produced banger after banger, dude.
Yeah. So that's the situation we're dealing producer with here.
Monster, Death Note, Black Lagoon, Hellsing Notemate, Perfect Blue, Claymore, Nana.
So what you're Lee saying is, it's Paprika. Like every anime we've reviewed on this cast, that guy's involved.
Yeah, he was the producer of a lot of stuff and a lot of cool stuff. Or he was in the planning position of many of the really cool shit.
Yeah.
This show is amazing.
Yeah. The show spans 74 episodes. We're doing episodes 1 through 25. We'll call it Arc 1, I guess. I don't know. Season 1? How do you guys want to...
Also, just
the first 25 episodes.
Yeah, first 25 episodes. That's what we'll go with. Yeah. Came out in spring 2004.
All of it is technically just one big story arc.
I mean, there's clear like cuts in stories, like when it's
there are parts to it, sure, but it's like it. I don't know. I still feel like it's
kind of, I don't know.
All wraps up into the same sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like the links of a chain. Even if there's the ending of one arc, the next arc kind of began in the middle of the last arc.
Right.
So the closure of an arc is usually Johan pulling the strings and killing whoever he used before, but he's already started using other people.
Yep.
So like it's always a chain of events. It's his story in chain format, right. Which is really kind of cool. The story is really cool.
Yeah, it's extremely faithful to the manga.
It always starts with Johan and it always ends with Emma and Nina as well.
Right. Well, a lot of
First one, because the first one starts with Tenma and finishes with Johan, and then it reverses.
Yeah, so the setting this takes place in, at first, Dusseldorf, Germany, where Tenma is essentially a graduate of the university there, becomes a doctor, works extremely hard. He's excellent at his job, very humble, of course. And life is setting him up to be like an elite of person. He's got a hot blonde wife. He has the respect of all of his peers. They utilize him to the best of his ability, but as soon as conscience comes in instead of business, that's where the show takes a split. And due to the events of this psycho Johan, this 11-year-old child with a twin sister named Anna, important later, Tenma has essentially a crisis of conscience, and the business world, the guys in charge of this hospital, basically tell Tenma. They tell Tenma to fuck off with his conscience, and because of that, you're not going to be renewed at the doctor summit. You're never going to advance, and oh yeah, if you try to transfer, we'll fucking blackball you from the industry. So he's fucked. His whole career is essentially fucked. Now, is it like totally messed up? No, I mean, you could always like start over with your education, but he'd have to start over from the ground up, and that just takes way too long. So he's over the bed of Johan. He's essentially frustrated, and he's like, I wish they'd die. They fucked my life. And because of these decisions, the wife, being the hoe, says, well, if you're not going to advance in this world and give me the life of luxury, I'm leaving your ass. So, cool move by her, of course.
As one does.
So his life has just totally fallen apart, and then seemingly the two people that would be in his way die mysteriously via poison, and it's awfully specific to something with medical, and the police, namely Heinrich Lunge, who looks strikingly similar to a certain detective in Pluto, just with different colored hair. This guy is a workaholic, obsessed detective that pretty much takes over his life. And one of the big things is catching Tenma for this murder of society's elite, in the case of the directors. But he can't pin it on him. And among other investigations with, like, assassins and serial killers and whatever Lunga's involved with. So there's your kind of main cast of events that go through. And when we cut to 9 years later, it has a lot of mob ties and East Germany and USSR, DDR type events with the fall of the Berlin Wall and things that happened in World War II. A lot of things are going to come to light involving that checkered past. And, well, when Johann, the kid he operated on, comes back, due to events with another patient he was operating on, and Johann's basically going to come to, like, kill this guy. And Johann and Tenma re-meet, and events of the particular murder of this patient essentially causes Tenma to run away, because now he's going to be arrested. He's all evidence points to him as the murderer. He murdered this guy because he probably found out his secret. He murdered the directors because he had the most to gain. And Ava sets his ass up because he won't take her back due to events that have occurred over the 25 episodes. She's gone from society's high to society's low. And Tori, did you feel bad for her? Because I certainly did not.
Of course not. Like, man, you know, it's like her entire thing has always just been like, obviously, she is looking for, I mean, she is the daughter of the director of the hospital. She's looking for, she's just looking to be set for life, take the easy road. Obviously, that goes on to become engaged to the guy who will probably take over the hospital after her father. And then, of course, his entire career is fucked up, and she's like, I'm going over to the next guy that's probably going to take over. And then that shit doesn't work out, and then she, over the course of time, she gets married to multiple other people, but, you know, for no other reason than because they're successful, and then divorces them to take their money, living off her inheritance, and still just never getting over Tenma, and being like, I'm gonna fuck this guy over, I'm gonna get him arrested, can't get him arrested, I'm gonna get him killed. And then, you know, all this thing, we go through her little spiel, where she is just completely fucking become a drunk, can't get anything sorted, fucking rage fits here and there. It's just like you're saying, it's like, man, I wish I felt bad. I really do. But at the same time, sucks to suck, doesn't it?
Yeah. Her karma came back hard.
Yeah. It's interesting. Everything that is related to Tenma, because he's such a cool guy. And at least as of right now, two characters absolutely destroy their own lives. She'll just destroy this cool guy. Like this chill dude, which is Eva and Lunge. Lunge as well, just obsession with Tenma, thinking he's the serial killer.
I mean, to be fair, all evidence right? does point to him.
I mean, it makes sense, right? Because he came in, when he comes in at the beginning, he's like the hotshot super detective that solves all cases he's involved with. And he brags to Tenma about that as well. I'm going to solve this one too. I've solved every case, so don't you worry. And then he can't solve the case. He can't find the person responsible. So it's like, it becomes an obsession. It's like, I'm going to fucking get this guy. I'm going to prove he did it. Because it's obvious that he did it. He didn't do it, but you know. So now it's like, that was an obsession. So I like that. I kind of like that with Lungi. Like, it makes sense. It's like, bro, you ruined my perfect record, bitch.
Yeah.
Like, yes. He says he cannot wait to get out of the hospital because pursuing Tenma is the most, the funniest thing he ever did in the past. So I was like, holy fuck, this dude is, he's just there squeezing the bone, smiling. I was like, oh, man.
Every time he talks to people, he just stares at it. His fucking hand just starts moving like he's writing on a typewriter. He's like, yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What are you doing? I'm
By the
typing.
Way, didn't you?
Typing in my head.
Yeah. No, but not even that. It's like, he does that. It's like, by the way, weren't you a part of this thing? Oh, yeah, yeah, I was. Yeah. I seem to remember that. Hmm. My man's just fucking clicking through files. And his wife and daughter are leaving him as well, and he just walks in and be like, I'm busy, I have stuff to do, so like, can you get back to me on this? Like, brother's just treating his own family like it's a fucking business, like it's fucking work related. It's like, I'm kind of busy right now. Can we schedule this meeting for later?
Yeah, make sure to clock out before you leave. All right. Yeah, and so let's see if we can connect these events here, because at the beginning, it's about Tenma and the setup, and then it transitions into Nina Fortner, okay? Totally not Anna Liebert by any chance. and it has that 9-year flash forward of events, and she's a student going to the university in Heidelberg. And what's really cool about this series for me personally is this aired the year this fin let's see this finished airing in Japan the year that I moved to Germany in 2005. Yeah, so I moved in August 2005. The show ended in September, so I just missed it. And it takes place in the 90s. That's the setting, and believe it or not, a lot of Germany kind of hadn't changed other than a lot of technology advances over the last, at that time, 20 years in between the show. So when I was watching this post my school time in the country, I had traveled to almost all of these places that the show goes to. Heidelberg, Frankfurt, München, Berlin, Düsseldorf.
Did you enter the castle?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The castle in Düsseldorf. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah. Or I'm sorry, not Dresden. God damn it. Heidelberg. Yes, I've been there. Yeah. I've been to all of these places in the show, and I'm like, I recognize these places. I can relate to these. Especially in Düsseldorf. I spent my 18th birthday in Düsseldorf. I have a lot of just kind of personal connections through the travel of the show, because Tenma essentially, during his like detective work, so to say, of trying to track down Johan, he's going along the fields and roads, and you're seeing all these cars, and I'm like, I've been in one of those before, like those old junky 90s things that were going around in the post-fall era. Those things are maybe not in 2023, but at least in 05, yeah, they were very prominent still, especially when you go to East Germany. So the big moment for me was, okay, once we go from Düsseldorf to Heidelberg, I'm like, oh shit, this is really cool. The whole instance at the castle was really cool, and that's where like you get the whole necktie connection, and that ultimately becomes Tenma's reason to run, because now there's supposedly hard evidence that pins him to the murders. And let's see, what's after, I'm trying to remember here, what's after Heidelberg? I think it's Frankfurt, or is it East Germany? Because East Germany, they end up going to like Potsdam and Dresden and all these places with
the orphanage. Heidelberg, I think
East Germany areas is before the Frankfurt section. Because then that's where he meets Dieter and these kind of guys, and Heckel. Basically, it's the whole purpose of the East German trip is the connection to the USSR and the DDR for war and trying to create perfect soldiers, and what is the connection with 511 Kinderheim, 511 Kinderheim. It's just this experimental orphanage, and it's fucked up what goes on there. So Tenma learns about Kinderheim here, and it's just, oh no, we have fucking serial killers on the loose essentially in this country, and assassins, and the people involved, whether it's the doctors, or high like older guys from the 50s that have done all these things. And so we learned that you can pretty much see what's coming, that Johan and Anna, or Nina, as she's known, has their connections to this orphanage. But how are they connected? What does this mean? And Tenma's like, I have to find like the dudes involved in this. So Hickey, Tori. Yes. I'm kind of breaking down this whole story here. As you can tell, I just love recounting the events of this, because it's very like gray show, just like the country. So maybe from a kind of looks perspective, it's not the most exciting, but
if you like geopolitics, it's kind of interesting, because when he went to East Germany, you can definitely see, oh, that's East Germany.
Oh yeah, it's
everything
like,
is kind of run down. Everything is kind of gray and sad.
And the country is still kind of like that to this day, especially when I was living there.
Everything's kind of Russian-ish.
Well, it's the fall of communism.
The style of clothing. Yeah, right. The style of clothing. It's like very way more traditional. And more old people as well. Not a lot of young people.
And
because, you know, opportunity in West Germany and, you know, more money, more opportunities. Young people move to West Germany. East Germany kind of gets depopulated.
Well, all the money's in West Germany. That's you know, it's the West, right? And
yeah. But you can see that in the show. He's on East Germany.
Accurate representation.
There's a lot of old people, but there isn't a lot of young people running around.
Yeah,
very interesting. It's very interesting.
Those are kids he runs into. Is the fucking orphanage
Dieter.
Kids.
Dieter.
Yeah. Oh, God. That entire section is fucking fucked up. Holy shit. But yeah, no, there's nothing. I do understand what JD means. Because, like, I know a lot of the criticism of Monster has always been sort of a lot of the technical stuff. Like, the animation is so-so. A lot of it is very standard. Like, it's not a lot of flashy stuff, you know, a lot of walking, a lot of talking, stuff like that. That's fine. Color wise, everything is often very gray, muted, but like it makes sense. I feel like they use color very sparingly, but like in a good way. Cause like when it comes to like the countryside and whatnot, and like then they have no problem using color, but like, you know, they're trying to like brighten up Germany to make it look more appealing than it was.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So that's nice. Yeah. So that's funny. When I've had this conversation before with people when they're describing Monster, and they're like, "Well, the only time you ever see like this country being nice is when like Tenma's walking on the roads on the Rhine heading to Frankfurt." I'm like, "Well, yeah. When you go on a train, and when people visit the country, they just go, oh yeah, the most beautiful part was on the train." In between all the big cities, because you're just like, yeah, that's the only parts that are green in the country.
Yep, right. And that's that. I like that aspect of it. And the other criticism is often the music, because like, I still remember like there was so much like talk with the show, and it kept like, for example, the opening. Right, it's like, is it a good or a bad opening? Because the opening is kind of. I mean, let's put it this way: like, it's not a song that I'm going to put on and listen to. Ever. Right? But it's like, I feel like the music is very decent at sort of setting the tone. It's like a lot of like weird noises, a lot of ambient noise. Like when they want to like notify that like something is unsettling, they use a lot of like weird, strange noises, sort of droning noises and whatnot, instead of like proper music. And it's like, so it's like, is that bad music, or like is it bad music, or is it good sound design? I'm more on the edge of good sound design than anything, but you know, what do I know?
Well, everything about the show sets the mood, and even something as simple as the opening, it's like you're watching a dreary detective show, and it's not meant to be this cheery thing. It's about seeing Tenma.
But to the first 25 episodes, there's a lot of downtime that is just like,
oh yeah, no, that's the thing with Monster. I mean, that's the thing with Naoki Urasawa works in general. There's a lot of slow parts Like, he kind of likes doing that. He loves fucking... No, I know. But, like, the way that he writes his stories very often, it's like that. Like, he loves those. Like, I remember reading 21st Century Boy. It's the same thing. You have so many sections of that manga where it's like, you feel like you're just going through chapter after chapter after chapter. It's like, are we going anywhere or are we just hanging out? Like, it's just the way he writes his stories. He loves that shit.
Yeah, very often throughout Monster, especially in the later episodes, which we'll eventually get to, it's very important to go through these downtime periods where Tenma meets, I don't know, some guy that pulls over on the side of the road and gives him a ride, and then what's his connection to who he's actually looking for, and you get to know these people, even in that small amount of time. So then eventually when Johan comes to fuck shit up...
He's not real, JD.
He is real, Tori. You stop saying that. He's really real.
He's really real.
So when Johan eventually comes to fuck shit up, that sense of terror is absolutely there where it goes, oh shit, he's here. Who's going to die next? Why is this going to impact the future aspects of the story? Is it going to delay Tenma? Is it going to help him?
I think the most unsettling is when he actually doesn't appear. Right?
Yeah. Right.
He already pulled so many strings that they just don't need to do anything anymore. Like the police, the police officer, the corrupt police officers. The second one dying, because the first one becomes a drug addict, and he dies on a. He dies off screen. Like, fucking... that is also Johan. You know that's Johan doing. But it's like, oh, yeah, he went to buy drugs and the deal fell off and he got stabbed to death. It's like, that is 100% Johan. Johan 100% did that.
But yeah, the sense of manipulation...
You cannot prove because
is incredible.
It was... Everything was off screen. But the second one, where it's like he gets shot saving Nina. And it's like, Johan... definitely was involved throughout the whole thing, but he isn't mentioned a single time.
Mm-hmm. And that is the interesting thing for me when it comes to Johan, right? And it's one of the things that, I mean, it's probably the most shining praise that anyone will ever give Monster. Johan is an amazing villain, despite the fact that he is very rarely, at least for long portions of the show, even present in it. But that's the thing. That's the difficult thing with someone like Johan. Because the scary thing about Johan isn't who he is or what he looks like or what he does. It's the idea of what he is capable of. It's the idea that everyone paints of it, the picture that everybody paints of it. This guy that's greater than Hitler. Like, he is, like, Hitler was a guy that could not, but that's not a random fucking thing. It's like, they literally say he is better than Hitler because Hitler could unify Germany against a single enemy, but ultimately failed. Johan is Hitler perfected. He has the ability to influence anyone to do anything. And all he needs to do is add a little spark and everything will go up in flames. Right? And it's like, you hear these grand things about him. It's like, that's why you know that it's good to keep him in the background. Because, like, you kind of can't have him running around too much. Because if we were to constantly see what he was doing, that would only diminish the idea of what Johan is. So I feel like that entire thing is handled very well.
When it gets to the neo-Nazis, the random plot about killing Turkish people in the middle.
Well, what's wild is in my own experience in Germany, and you get this throughout every country with foreigners coming in, but Germany has such a high Turkish population, and when I'm watching these particular episodes, when it comes into just Turkish people in general and culture, and you get the feeling that the Germans kind of don't like Turkish people. I'm like, well, there's always going to be some that don't like the quote unquote foreign invaders. Right. That's throughout history. That's very common. And I really like the Turkish aspect thrown into the show, and we'll eventually get to. And they mentioned that, like, I think in the back half of these 25 episodes. Czechoslovakia, which is totally a real country, not anymore, obviously, but yeah, Czech Republic, the neo-Nazis come into play. I'm like, man, I have experience with all these things. Neo-Nazis in particularly Southeastern.
In Czechoslovakia.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, shit, I got drunk at the Czech border and just over the border in the Czech Republic. Absinthe, hell of a drink, man, let me tell you guys. I didn't meet anyone named like Goodlitz or anything, but I did meet plenty of Anna is a very popular girl's name, and met plenty of Annas. Anyways, a lot of neo-Nazis in like Southern Germany that I experienced. So I'm like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. They're right at the Czech border. It's where they kind of hang out. I think the second in charge under Hitler was like stationed there, and that's where he's from, so there's still connections. Hopefully that's extinguished a little bit by 2023 here, but it was still very prevalent in 2005, 2006 in my own experience. So the neo-Nazi like era in the 90s, I'm like, yeah, absolutely, it would be a terrifying thing to still exist in the country during this time frame. Let's see. So we get to, so after the Frankfurt and after the Frankfurt areas, we get to, I just got the list of episodes here and I'm reminding myself, chain of events. So we have, okay, so we're back to Anna Liebert, Johann's sister, and we meet this guy named Rosso at the Italian restaurant. What'd you guys think of this era of the show here?
It was one of the episodes that was just like, oh, okay, cool, sure. Like, fucking Tema becoming a mercenary.
Kinda.
Tema operating a old woman while a police officer is like, no, she's my mother. I won't let you save her life with this toothpick. But Rosso is a cool character. Rosso is a really cool character. And then you have like the connection because he could have killed the crooked cop.
Right.
That then framed, but he's like, ah, oh, that guy, he's a good guy because he enjoys sugar. It's like, what the hell? And you know, having one of
tasted
the
sugar in a long time.
Yeah, one of the coolest lines, one-liners in this show that is like, you can kill, and killing people is easy, you just need to forget the taste of sugar. It's like, oh, such a cheesy line, but so effective. The change in his personality as well, where he's like, I know that you know I'm an assassin, and he just closes off. It's a really good episode, it's a really cool episode with really cool characters, but in the grand scheme of themes, completely unnecessary because it doesn't solve anything, and Nina cannot kill someone.
No.
And she doesn't have training because she went there to be trained to kill people, and she just shoots in a shooting gallery twice, and she's scared of the gun. Meanwhile, Tema became a fucking mercenary.
Well, the thing about Anna is she tries to live her life separate from everything. She has no memories of her childhood, but clearly the mental damage is still there due to certain events, and the creepiness of Johann being like, I will come and see my sister when she turns 20 is a hell of a setup. And then her adopted parents are murdered
with the newspaper guy.
Exactly,
the newspaper guy.
So
by the crooked cop that could have been killed by Rosso here,
right? And so Anna is now like, I have to find my brother. I don't know what the hell I'm gonna do if I find him. I have to like gain connections in these shady things just to see him. Okay, good luck, bro. So she meets she goes to like France. There's another detective or former detective. He's now not really enjoying life to its fullest, but we meet more characters that are now connected. This is what Tori was talking about, where Johann kind of doesn't need to be directly there, but he can manipulate events so well to put people in positions where they'll take each other out, essentially. And that's really cool. And that's and Anna like can see all this kind of happening. And we get to kind of the end here where we get we hook back up with Ava. She's like homeless and life's taking her down. Bummer. She meets up with Roberto. And he's going to kill her, but she's like, you know, come on. How about not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The moment then, that guy gets injured, it's like, oh, that guy. Yeah, he definitely didn't do anything. No.
No, never. So then we're in Bayern. So this is the southeastern Germany section I was talking about. We're in Bayern. We're in some, like, dorf, some village. And this is where Tenma is, like, working with the mob. I guess mercenaries you were talking about. It's all, and we're getting to these like old people homes in München, and this is where I think this section happened to be a good spot where we finished, because we're looking at this guy named Hans-Georg Schuwald, and he's kind of this he's blind, he's this wealthy dude, and there's people like taking care of him, and there's students, and this has a connection with Tenma's past himself. He wants to go find like an old teacher kind of deal, and he's meeting students, one named Carl Neumann. And as events are coming together, you can kind of slowly see and feel the suspense of all the characters meeting with this guy named Schuwald and what the connection is. And we eventually learn that Johann is like his caretaker in a little way. He's hanging out with him. You're like, oh, fuck. Uh-oh. And then, bang, we're done with our 25 episodes. And it's like, oh, man, I really want to watch more. What's Johann going to do? Who is he going to kill next? Is it going to be everybody? Probably everybody.
Most likely everybody.
Next? Who isn't he going to kill next? But yeah. There's also one thing that you didn't mention, okay, especially in regards to Johann, which I thought is kind of interesting. It's the it's with the neo-Nazi stuff and whatnot, right? When they sort of realize that after he sort of after Johann supposedly sneaks in and shit happens and he starts leaving messages behind. One of the messages that he leaves behind is the idea of like you know, the danger of like the monster, like he's essentially asking Tenma for help.
Oh yeah, the kill monster, the monster inside
is growing.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't control the monster. The monster inside is growing, right? And then we also get the doctor opinion of like, this guy sounds like somebody who deals with who has like personality disorder, which I thought is a very interesting sort of idea towards Johann as well. That like, maybe this is because like, something that you sort of get to see a little bit. Yeah. And you see a little bit more of that human side of him, I guess. Like, they're like, oh, this guy's just really sociable, I guess. Seems like people like him. So you kind of see that part of him. And that's sort of that idea that keeps twirling in the back of my mind. It's like, is this a case of him actually being schizophrenic? And that he just has this weird murderous side on him?
Oh, yeah.
Or is he genuinely just this good at fucking social manipulation that he is that he is doing this just to fuck with people?
Why not?
I think it's the second, the specialist, the Rudy, the criminal psychoanalyst. He concludes that he starts like, oh shit, Tenma went crazy. He got this Johann inside of his head and is a fucking psychopath. So he's talking to this other mother, the serial killer, about sexual crimes he committed. But like, there's this old woman, right? He killed, and he's like, "You will understand if you go if you go to the house and you get there. There's the doll and a bunch of photographs with the killer's face. He's like, I had a friend, and this friend sent me letters. It's like he knew who I was, and then he goes to the old woman's things, and there's a bunch of letters, and the letters have the same message that Johan was sending to Tema. He's like, nah, he's just fucking with people. He doesn't have his split personality. He's just a very, very scary monster.
I know, but that also just implies the fact that he knows that by doing this, that this series of events will lead to the Tenma meeting this guy and them having a talk, and he will tell him that he has a split personality. Like, that is fucked up in and of itself. Yeah, drawing those fucking connections.
Dude, Johan is like, holy shit, dude! What did Urasawa fucking use to do this character?
Well, I could be mistaken, but when the guy was writing this, he sought out stories about old serial killers and went to psychoanalysts to try to like come up with the best serial killer. I think I remember reading that somewhere.
Yeah, Johan is like 20 steps ahead, dude.
Always. Yeah, and
always.
Like Johan,
even when he's a kid, like, oh yeah, there's like this bank that operates with the with money laundering. It's like this kid started it. I was like, oh no, not again.
Not again.
He's a kid. Yeah, he was a kid, and he just did this awesome scheme to money laundry, and everyone now can like just use this bank and get money and shit. I was like, holy fuck, that explains why Johan is so wealthy.
See, like, holy what's shit. This here? The original idea for Monster came from the 1960s American television series The Fugitive, which had a strong impact on Urasawa when he saw it at the age of 8. That explains a lot. In the story, a doctor is wrongfully convicted of murder but escapes and searches for the real killer while on the run from the police.
Okay, well, that's inspiration for the story.
Yeah, no, I'm
but what about
to see
the character
medical?
Of Johan? That's what I can't that's... quite remember.
Oh, I've seen this movie with Harrison Ford.
Well, yeah, they remade it in the 80s.
Yeah, I've seen the 80s one.
Nothing here about that.
No, the 90s.
I thought it was a late 80s.
I'm not seeing any references to that here. But, yeah. So I don't know where you heard that from, but I can't find any confirmation on that.
I could have sworn it was like an interview with the guy, and he was talking about the inspiration for Johan and how he came to create the character. Maybe it's all in my head. That's possible.
It could be. I mean, they do research.
Absolutely.
Surprise
everyone
me
has
if he
to.
Talks about that. Like he did say that he was specifically intrigued by like the medical profession, and especially in Germany at that at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't surprise me if he also then talked to like psychologists, psychoanalysts, and whatnot, and to try to get like a better understanding of people's psyche as well. Like it makes sense.
Yeah, and there's tons of historical records of East Germany and communism trying to come up with super soldiers and crazy experiments that's like Clockwork Orange level stuff, right? So how do you create a absolute genius psychopath in the best way? And that's kind of the journey we're on in discovering Johan and his origins as we slowly get closer to at least finding these things out. As we go through the series, and Tenma is just on the trail. That's who he is. And he's got people on his trail, and then Anna's on the trail to find her brother. It's a lot of winding roads that eventually will interconnect, and everything's connected to this character that we hardly see.
The Anna thing is funny as well, because it's like, part of me is like, she's on the trail to find her brother. That is true. But also, he technically wanted to pick her up. So, and considering the fact that he technically know where she is at pretty much any given time, he could just pick her up whenever he wants to if he actually felt like it.
So, yeah, that's
the
true.
Only reason she doesn't find anything is just because he doesn't show himself. We've already known that she's already caught a glimpse of him multiple times. He's just there. So it's not like he can't find her.
But
he
how creepy
exactly
would that be, though?
Is.
It's like, I want to find this guy. He knows where I am at all time. And it's like a constant game of hide and seek where the cat knows where the mouse is at all times.
I mean, there like we haven't gotten to this part yet, but like I still remember there's plenty of moments like that later on in the series as well. I still remember that one specific scene. I'm not gonna go too much into detail, but like where's Tenma's creeping on Johan and he's like, and then suddenly like Johan looks like he's completely distracted before he suddenly slowly turns to face him and looks directly at him. It's like, my God. This guy is so aware.
Yeah, everything is planned. You already know
everything. Everything is planned. Like, you think you can sneak up on me? Bitch, the only reason... I know why you know where I am. I am the reason why you know where I am.
It's a really good mystery.
Yeah, it's...
Really good show.
It's a top of its genre, as far as I'm concerned. The story takes a little bit longer to get going in the first, I don't know, 6 episodes than I remember. But it's all great setup. And then once you get past that, that's where the show is just, I have to watch the next episode right away. The mystery must continue. Mm-hmm. Who are these new characters? It remains fresh throughout each part because the story is continuing. There's no filler. It doesn't feel like I'm watching something that doesn't serve a purpose towards the future of what's happening. So... I'm ready to score this thing. You can probably guess what I give it. Yeah, I'm a perfect 10 with this. I see no flaws with it.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Just like Johan.
Just like Johan.
Perfect. Just like Johan.
Perfect.
And also
10.
Just like the perfect 10. And also just like the perfect 10 is not real. So. So, but yeah, now I love Monster. I think it's very good. I don't think I'm definitely not quite there with JD on the perfect 10, at least not yet. We can probably get there. But for now, I'm going to give it
70 fucking episodes.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with an 8 for now just because it's like, you know, I want to give the show some breathing room. I feel like if we start off on a 10, the show that's just destined for the show to like fall off. It's just only thing you can go there is negative. I mean, no, but like, you know, at that point, it's like when you start at a 10, there's like suddenly every fucking negative that happens is going to be, that's a point deducted. It's like, I don't want to. We start off at an 8. We start off at an 8. It can still go up. I still think it's like, it's good, yes. But it still has those like slower moments to kind of like the moments that are a little bit more like require you to like chug through a little bit more before you get to like the meat of stuff. Things kind of the way things start off, it's like it start if you don't know what this is, you go into it and be like, oh, it's a medical show. No, it is not. Right? It's like it hits you with that. That those are good parts. I'm not saying that because this is like flaws or negatives about the show, but it's like. I feel like that sort of you need that sort of buildup, and that's why this is very good buildup. But I wouldn't feel comfortable giving it full marks at this current moment in time, at least not based on the first 25.
So a show I was thinking about for us reviewing was Legend of the Galactic Heroes, and how we kind of scored that, and we're kind of at the same junction with that. You know, I gave it a 10. Tori, you're kind of on the lower end. Hickey, where are you at?
A lower end.
Yeah, lower end of an 8. Oh, terrible show.
I'm actually going to give the show a 7 for the first 25 episodes.
Brutal. He hates it, Tori.
Yeah, he does spend it. Not even worth it.
Yeah.
He's telling people to not watch it. Damn, can't believe this guy.
Definitely started. Man, it's just... There is... too much downtime. There's too much slice of life episodes. Tema from time
slice
to time doesn't
of
seem
life,
to be,
you say?
Yeah. Doesn't seem to be taking this everything very serious. Plays a lot into the he's a foreigner, he's Japanese kind of trope. He's not accustomed with the society, even though he's been living in Germany for fucking 20 years now.
He is on the run and looking like a bum.
Yeah, but he's like way too dreamy for a fugitive as well. Kind of breaks a little bit from the there is a literal perfect monster trying to eat your face, dude. Or worse, make another German eat your face. So, like, it breaks a lot of on that. The sound design is not the best. The animation is fine. It's 70 episodes. I cannot complain of the animation. And, yeah, so one or two plot points are not very good. It comes to Johan being, you know, too great since the beginning.
Okay.
But... yeah, which it's fine. What really bothers me in the first 25 episodes is a personality trait of Tema that persistently comes back of the good doctor and just the good nature of him going to do some tourism while, you know, being pursued by the police.
Some good German tourism there. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, just some German tourism through the through some countryside. Completely unnecessary.
Where does he get all those Deutschmarks? Like, let me tell you.
Yeah, he's like, you know, I know that I need to go to that city ASAP because people are going to be killed by this Johan guy. But let me just spend a week in this village helping them plant potatoes. Like, dude.
Well, he's got to earn his keep. How can he, like, get across the country if he doesn't have money?
Yeah, but, like, the sense of urgency sometimes just fades away.
So I suppose he could perform some back alley surgeries, and that'll get him where he needs to go quicker.
He actually does. That's why he's, like, in the villa with the mob.
Right, because he has to make ends meet.
Yeah, but, like, he can do a fucking one surgery, 10 hours, get the money, sleep. It's like, oh no, let's just, you can stay here for like a week and let's just eat some meal together.
Yeah. Let's eat those brats and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
that is one aspect of Germany I do not miss. It's the lack of variety of food.
Everything is very brown. Every food is so brown in this series.
Yeah, every food is just this like grounded meat.
but knowing bread knowing and ground German meat. Cuisine,
that is German.
Yeah, German cuisine is very brownish. But regardless, it's just that. That's why I'm giving it a 7, mostly because I'm sorry. Nina is absolutely useless, dude.
Oh,
even when
on.
She tries to
she's
be useful,
to be.
She's kind of useless.
She's no, she's a broken woman, man.
That's Eva.
Well, no, she broke herself.
Yeah, it's just those.
What do you mean, Hickey? She shot Johan. She shot Johan in the head. That's better than anybody else has been able to do so far.
That's right.
That is true. except Wolf, General Wolf, that broke Johan to begin with, but that's beyond the point. Just the bucolic aspirations of the show kind of break from the murder mystery cute doctor doing cute things in the countryside. It's kind of jarring, but aside that, it's a good beginning. It's definitely gonna improve, so 7 out of 10. It's a good start. All again, right. It's 70 episodes, dude. It's 70.
Yeah, we got a ways to go. Will we finish this in 4 years like Legend of Galactic Heroes? I guess we'll find out. But I'm excited to continue the show. I think we have to do it. It doesn't shock me that a lot of anime fans just haven't given the show a try, even though it has high scores. People constantly speak highly of it for those that have seen it. I think it would be a podcast injustice if we didn't continue the show.
Yeah, okay, so we're dropping it, right?
No, we're not. I refuse. It will be my choice every time if we have to.
Of a 9. Unfortunately, we are dropping the show.
Unfortunately, it doesn't mean our quality assurance standard here at the Red Leaf Retrocast.
Oh, yes, of course.
Podcast.
We must watch more
Boca
Rano.
We are instead dedicated to better shows such as fucking... yes, whatever. Hickey, name something. You're good at this.
Fushugi Yugi.
comic body.
God. Thank you. Thank you. I knew you. I knew you weren't going to disappoint when it came to naming something bad. Thank you.
Comic Fight is bad, but it's funny. It's bad, but the way it's bad makes it funny. One day we're going to review that.
One day, God.
All right. So our next episode, we're going to record that a little early and then release it during the Christmas week. That will be our last one for the year in quite some time. It is The Girl Who Leapt Through Time.
Christmasy of Christmas movies.
It was also planned by the guy who produced Monster, by the way.
Hell yeah. I mean, we can see the similarities, obviously.
Yeah, and true. Then I guess our plan is over the next, 3 weeks or so, we'll come up with the next couple months of podcast episodes as we head into 2024. I'm excited to continue this with you guys and continue Monster in particular. This was episode 161. See you next time.
Peace.
Goodbye.